80 served up by Wendy's, the Game of Thrones theme, and the walk-up music for R.A. Dickey. Not bad.
This is a very regal.
It also reminds me we're still a year away from Game of Thrones returning.
Yeah. We'll catch that sometime in 2020 now. I think they just backed it up again.
That's right. R.A. Dickey joins us. The Coach Forum, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company. It's coming tomorrow at the Music City Center, 8:30 to 3:30, with a great group of speakers. You heard from a couple of them yesterday, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, VFL Inky Johnson will be there, and our next guest, R.A. Dickey. For more information, you can visit thecoachforum.com. R.A., thank you for the time. How are you?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about what your message will center around tomorrow at the Coach Forum.
You know, my message will just kind of be an amalgamation of everything I've learned through all the people that I've come in contact with over the years. You know, I've been fortunate enough to play for 21 years professionally and run into a lot of good men and good coaches. And I'm always evaluating, you know, what kind of man is this guy before I'm evaluating what kind of manager he is or what kind of coach he is. And I think I can speak for a lot of people. It's a lot easier to receive from a good man than a guy who just wants to be a tyrant, you know?
Well, and how long does it take you to form that relationship where you can sort of develop a judgment of a coach and where they're coming from and what type of man they are when you're working for them? Does that take a long time, or could you tell pretty quickly what the true motivation was of managers and coaches you worked for?
Well, you know, I think first and foremost, you gotta know that the coach cares. I mean, and that's pretty much the title of my message is, you know, I got to believe in my heart that you really care about me, not just for purposes that would behoove you, but also how can I get the best out of my abilities, both as a human being and as a baseball player, football player, basketball player, doesn't matter. And if I can immediately see that you give a flip, then it's a lot easier for me to engage you in a way and be engaged in a way that's transforming.
Is that approach for a coach more important for younger kids, high school coaches, maybe even college coaches, as opposed to professionals who are getting paid to play? Or is it equal across the board that you had that sort of trust in a coach?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I'm of the ilk that, you know, it's every level. Like, to get the best out of a professional, a guy who's already there because he possesses a skill set that's pretty fantastic, guys are already there for a reason, right? So you're trying to figure out how can you get that consistently out of that player. And for me, I've always found that the managers that I've played for professionally, just like the coaches that I had when I was a youth and are an amateur, whether it was Skip Bertman in the Olympics or Rod Delmonico at Tennessee, or, you know, I had some great coaches at the Lipscomb Green Hills League and the Creve Hall League. And for me, the one consistent thing in each position of leadership should be, does this guy have my best interests at heart? And if I believe that guy does, then, you know, I'd run through walls for him.
Are you having fun coaching your kids right now?
I am. I really am. It was one of the reasons I did not go back and play. I had some offers to go back and play, and just I was too invested here locally with my sons, and just had really started to enjoy and get into a rhythm of being home here in Nashville and getting to pour back in, you know, getting to give back what I got when I was here and I was a youth playing over there at, you know, where there was Seven Oaks Park or Criswell Freeman or NBA or wherever you have. I really enjoy doing that.
Are you officially retired? No chance you're coming back? Or do you keep that door partially ajar to come back and play?
You know, I never made a formal announcement just because I just, that's not my thing. You know, I'd rather just kind of fade away and kind of lead the game in a way where I felt like I gave everything I had to it. But, you know, as far as like the ballpark tours and making a formal announcement or filing a letter with the commissioner's office where I've officially retired. I'm probably not going to do that. And does that leave the door open for me coming back when I'm 47 years old? I don't know, or 45 or 46. I don't know. But I right now I know that my place is here, and I'm really enjoying being a full-time parent and husband.
TheCoachForum.com is where you can find out more information on the Coach Forum taking place tomorrow at the Music City Center. All right, Dickie, our guest. You were the card-carrying member of the Knuckleball Club after Tim Wakefield finally retired. But right now, is there a pitcher in the league that throws the knuckle?
There's one guy, and he's pretty good. He played for the Red Sox. I think he might be hurt right now, and he's battled some injuries. But his name is Stephen Wright. And Stephen Wright has, in my opinion, probably the best knuckleball since Tim Wakefield. I had a good knuckleball, but the reason that I was successful throwing is because I knew how to change speeds with it, and I also threw one of the hardest knuckleballs around. So that gave me a little bit of an edge. He, as far as true knuckleballs go, that can, you know, and that's a true knuckleball to me is a ball that doesn't spin, that goes anywhere from 65 to 72 miles an hour, and he can do that so consistently, and he's got a good chance at lasting a long time.
You know, I was reading up on Anibal Sanchez recently, and he's now in his mid-30s. He used to be that velocity guy, and when he was on, he was, I won't say unhittable, but he was very good. But he's reinvented himself on the mound, which includes this Ephus pitch, which he has thrown successfully for outs. And he represents the club that you were a part of, someone who reinvented himself to stay successful. Does anyone reach out to you, R.A., for advice on throwing the knuckleball as a pitch for their arsenal, something that they could throw 20% of the time if they needed to?
You know, most of the guys that reach out to me, yes, is the answer to your question. There are quite a few people who have reached out to me in the last 10 years wanting to try to learn or have one and want me to help them refine it. And I've always been open to that if it fits into the schedule. But it's really hard to throw a knuckleball 20% of the time. I mean, it's a completely different mindset, mechanic, and it's hard to be a good knuckleball pitcher and have your feet in both buckets. The only guy that's really ever been able to do that successfully was Joe Niekro. And he was just a special talent, but it's really difficult to do that because you're thinking about something so differently when you're throwing that knuckleball that it leaks into your mechanics for your other pitches, and it's just hard to do. And plus, one of the things that makes a knuckleball good is that the batter thinks it's coming 100% of the time. And that way you can play off that for speed, tempo. I can sneak a fastball in there. I can drop a curveball in there. But what Anibal Sanchez is doing is he's taking what he once had and just learning how to pump the brakes on it, speed it up a little bit. Bartolo Colon is the same kind of guy. You know, he was a guy who, when he was with Cleveland and winning Cy Young Awards, he was throwing 99 miles an hour with turbo sink. And now he throws 86 and he'll throw a front door sinker and he'll spin a little curveball, but he knows how to pitch. And that comes with age. I think you'll find that most guys that are 33 to 38 pitching wise have really learned how to pitch. If not, they're going to be out of the game.
All right, going back to what you previously said about the guy facing you in the batter's box, did you feel like you had the advantage because a guy couldn't sit there and analyze your tendencies? Because everyone knew what you were throwing, but if that pitch is dancing and darting, no one's hitting you. What's that feeling like?
Well, you know, it depends on the day, but when it's on, it's a different kind of feeling than when you're on as a conventional pitcher because, you know, as a conventional pitcher, it's all about hitting spots and changing speeds. And if you're doing that consistently, you're going to have a lot of success. With a knuckleball, you know, when it's moving, you're looking for big swings of movement. And it might be down and in. It might be down and away. It might look like it rises sometimes. It might be three or four shakes before it gets to the catcher's mitt. But the key is, am I getting inconsistent movement consistently? And if I'm doing that, then it's usually a fun day. I mean, if you look at the second half of my career, when I started being a knuckleballer in 2006 until I retired, you know, it's like a whole – it reads very differently than my first 10 years, and that's because that pitch can be so dangerous on a day-in, day-out basis.
You know, we've seen it here locally with Tim Corbin. He's done such a great job with that Vanderbilt baseball program, and – Part of the reason for that is he's had a lot of alumni go on and become Major League Baseball stars, and he's brought those alumni back to contribute to the program, to just be around the program, to work out during the offseason. Tony Vitello takes over at Tennessee. He had a pretty good year one. I'm curious, what's your level of involvement now with that program? Do they call you? Do they try to get you to come back for games? What is the connection there now with Tennessee under Tony Vitello?
You know, my connection has been more with the athletic directors in recent years. When coach searches have been going on, or opinions about certain guys that I've crossed paths with, or even recommendations for the position. And I've gone on campus a few times since I've retired, but it hasn't really been being involved with the baseball program as much as just the university as a whole. I love the University of Tennessee. I love the Big Orange. And so anytime, like for instance, I'm going August 7th to speak at the Tennessee Hall of Fame, the University of Tennessee Hall of Fame dinner. And so like doing things like that, I'll go back on campus and I will visit like the locker room or try to get with the coach just to see if there's any way I can serve them. But for the most part, you know, because I'm here in Nashville and don't take too many trips to Knoxville, I'm not real involved.
Do they ask you about, I'm guessing you had some inference or were asked about the baseball hire. Are you contacted to talk about any hire on campus with athletics?
Do you mean?
Like the football coaching search, would they call R.A. Dickey and say, hey, what do you think?
No. They would call me if there was a baseball-related issue. They would certainly call me and have called me, and that's how I can help the most. You know, they might call if it's a situation where one of the people that they're looking at for their football program is someone that I've been in contact with at some point. Now, I haven't ever gotten a call like that, but I would think that they would reach out in that situation.
Did you see this success coming with the Atlanta Braves in your time there?
Yes, I did. And I knew last year that I was hitting it 1 year too early. I actually thought I was hitting it 2 years too early. And when John Hart, who was the GM before Alex Anthopoulos, who ironically was the guy who traded for me when he was with the Blue Jays and I was with the Mets, he traded for me to come to Toronto, is now the GM of the Braves. Before him was John Hart. When he came to recruit me to be on the Braves team, he was really honest. And he said, look, all right, we need an innings eater, a veteran guy who can help school some of these younger guys, et cetera, et cetera. But we're probably 2 or 3 years away still. And when I got there in spring training, I saw immediately what he meant. But I am so happy for them. And the guy I'm most happy for, I think, are the three guys I'm most happy for are Brian Snitker, Freddie Freeman, and Nick Markakis. Those three guys I got to be pretty close to when I was there in Atlanta, and they're all just professional through and through and love being teammates with them and playing under them.
One last question for you, I know you got to run. You've stayed in really good shape. Throwing the knuckleball, what's realistic? I mean, I know we joked earlier, maybe at 46 or 47 you said you might come back, but could you throw that knuckleball at 50 years old in the major leagues?
Well, you know, the problem isn't the knuckleball or your arm as much as it is the other parts of your body. Like, if I was ever hurting, it rarely was my arm. It was more like my hips or my ankles or my joints, my lower half. You know, it's not really a pitch that is hard on your body. But the mechanic and the day-in, day-out training for the mechanic, whether it's bullpens or spring training or all the repetition, just over time, you know, it wears all that tissue down, and you end up being bone on bone in a lot of places in your body, and that's what gets you. It's not necessarily that you can't throw it; it's that you can't throw it and then cover first base because you can't run over there. it's funny how it does that. You know, like I had a great year last year physically with my arm, but like I had to get Toradol shots a time or two because, you know, my calf was blown up or my knee was killing me, or, you know, so that would be the thing that holds you back more so than the actual arm.
R.A. Dickey has been our guest. R.A., great to catch up with you, and hopefully we'll be able to see you tomorrow at the Coach Forum whenever we're broadcasting our show there.
A lot of fun, guys. Thanks for having me. Anytime, just give me a shout.
Awesome. Thank you. R.A. Dickey has been our guest, and you can see him tomorrow at the Coach Forum, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company. It's taking place tomorrow at Music City Center, 8:30 to 3:30, with a great group of speakers. You can see all of those speakers, and you can learn more about the Coach Forum at thecoachforum.com.
One of my favorite guests in the show is every time we get a chance to talk, just talk baseball, life, everything with R.A. Dickey. He's always so good. I've long thought this, too, about R.A. Dickey. We had George Whitfield in studio. You have all these quarterback gurus. You have all this specialization in sports now. There has to be, at some point, an R.A. Dickey knuckleball academy. I mean, think of what he could do with young pitchers that want to learn the knuckleball.
The knuckleball academy.
I mean, I could see people flocking to Nashville to work with R.A.
Dickey. Or, yeah, and not just young people. I think it's a way for pitchers to reinvent what they're already doing.
That's what he did. I mean, he blew his arm out, and then he came back as a knuckleballer.
And that's not me saying that it's an easy pitch to throw, but he's the guy to teach that pitch.
But if you could start that skill at 12 years old, let's say, when you're starting out pitching, just how much of a difference that could make. I've always been fascinated with that. And we've talked to R.A. Dickey about this pitch a lot, and he says, well, the reason not everyone throws is because it's really difficult.
Yeah.
You know, he could teach it to 1,000 people, and maybe 100 of them that are pitchers could actually throw it the way that you need to throw an effective knuckleball. But it would be interesting if you just had people flocking to R.A. Dickey to teach the knuckleball. You have people who go to Florida and live down there to learn tennis from certain coaches. Why not an R.A. Dickey knuckleball academy? If you had a kid that was a pitcher and that didn't have a huge arm, I mean, now everyone in Major League Baseball throws mid-90s. I mean, to be a middle relief pitcher, you have to throw 95-plus.
Yeah.
So if you can't physically throw 95-plus, but you want to have a scholarship or you want to maybe get paid a little bit to play baseball at some point, I would be, I mean, if I had a son that was a pitcher and they were interested in the knuckleball, I'd pay pretty good money to let him learn under R.A. Dickey and try to learn the knuckleball at a young age.
But to Hutton's point, though, too, if I'm a guy who's been stuck in Double A for 5 years,
yes,
or had a one circuit around Triple A and knowing that I don't have the heat to make it to the majors, absolutely I'm going to a guy like R.A. Dickey and say, show me how to throw that knuckleball.
But also, too, like I'm thinking about the guy who can throw 95 to 97, that 5 years from now, that may drop to 92 to 95, and you need that little extra pitch in your arsenal. Doesn't have to be, and I know what he said, and I'm not going to disagree with R.A. Dickey on it, where it's not a pitch that you can just throw 20% of the time. But imagine if you did have that type of pitch to go to. I mentioned Sanchez with the Ephus pitch. I mean, if you just have a different style, something different to show the hitter that can actually go for outs, that extends the career massively.
Well, and that was R.A. Dickey. I mean, there's no better person to teach that because he was a guy who threw 90s at the start of his career. He's a guy, Rod Delmonico, who he mentioned there. I mean, he pitched him into the ground at Tennessee while he was there. And that's part of his problem was he got drafted and started doing physicals. And they're like, hey, you have no elbow left. At this point, when he got to the Rangers, it was a huge problem. He had to, by necessity, if he wanted to continue pitching, he had to reinvent himself. So he went out and he learned the knuckleball. How many other people could benefit from that? But not just that. I'm thinking about the people, if you started out, like if R.A. Dickey started throwing the knuckleball at 12.
Yeah.
I mean, could you pitch to 55 years old? I mean, he got a great illustration of the real problem. It's not your arm. It's that when you're landing on that leg every time and you get into your 40s, suddenly that becomes a problem and you can't move as well with the lower body. But just a fascinating story. I always love getting a chance to talk with R.A. Dickey.
Always love watching the knuckleball pitchers. And I got to see R.A. in person at SunTrust last year during the Cubs series. And there were four Braves fans sitting next to us. And we were kind of back behind the dugout. And R.A. gets up for his first at bat. And one of the guys says, R.A. Dickey has the worst swing in the history of Major League Baseball. The very next pitch, it was a laser foul ball that struck three of those four guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Just made that comment.
Oh, that's excellent.
It's almost as if he heard him.
You should have hopped on to tell him that story. That would have been great.